Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
It's podcast time once again. Hey, I'm Mike. That's Joel. The Growing in Grace podcast. All archived programs, by the way, growingingrace.org, growingingrace.org, and of course, many podcast platforms out there from Spotify to Pandora to Apple, I mean, you name it, we're out there. So however you want to listen, it's a weekly podcast. We're glad you're along with us. Be sure to share it with a friend, too. Might make a big difference in their life. With me, as I mentioned, the guy who is a rock, but he's also an island, Joel Brzezicki.
I'm not Iraq, and I'm not Iran.
I don't even know who sings that song, but I heard it recently.
What was it again? I was only focusing on the one word you said.
I am a rock. I am an island. Who is that? Got to look it up.
Keep your podcast job.
Not going to do it now. We're recording. I'm not going to look it up.
I don't know. Like a Rock, Bob Seger.
It's a classic song.
Yeah? Well, you're a classic person. So you would know that.
that's a nice way of saying I'm getting old.
Well, you're almost, 90? No, there is a little bit of a difference in age between us two. Less than a decade, we'll put it at that, but he is the older one, and I'll leave it at that. I'll be nice. I'll be merciful.
Wisdom comes with age. Simon and Garfunkel, by the way.
Simon and
I
Garfunkel.
I did look it up. All right. I said I wouldn't, but I did, so God, please forgive me.
You're already forgiven, brother. But
well, that's something we could talk about again sometime, but
yeah.
Let's pick up on some things that we were discussing last week, Joel.
Oh, that'd be a good idea. So I left off, we were talking about how under the law, people were expecting that if they kept it, they would have life and they would have blessings. We brought out several different places in Deuteronomy and the Psalms where it was called people thought of it as liberty. They thought of it as perfect in converting the soul. If you follow the law, it's perfect in converting the soul, which of course is not true, because we've also found out that the law, which Paul thought would bring life, because again, the law promised life if you follow it. Several different scriptures tell about that. The Lord, in his own words, said that. Blessings and life if they follow the law, but the law is not a law of liberty and is not a law of perfectly converting the soul. It's not a law that brings life, and Paul thought it would, but he found that it only brought death. And so we talked about that last week. The mindset, the Jewish people, those who were under the law, was that if they just do this, then they will have life. And so we come to a parable. We come to an incident in which Jesus was standing there, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So we're in Luke 10 here, Luke 10, 25. So Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" Now, again, without our understanding of the actual gospel and of how to actually inherit eternal life by faith alone and not by the law, not by anything that you do, we keep reading and we see Jesus speaking from a Jewish perspective, a law perspective. So the lawyer was testing him. What do I do? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? What's written in the law? Well, he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." Interesting. Again, sticking with the Jewish law mindset, Jesus was telling him the truth. If you do these things, it's really as simple as just loving the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and not only that, but loving your neighbor as you love yourself. It's if you just do that, then you will live. We can joke about it now, knowing this side of the new covenant, this side of the cross, knowing what it's really all about, that it's not about doing these things. But under the law mindset, that was really what it was about. So the man wanting to justify himself, this is where it's interesting. he wants to justify himself. And so he says to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Now, probably didn't say it with that kind of an attitude, but so then Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Basically, a man fell among thieves. Some people walked by. One of them was a priest. One of them was a Levite. Those two walked by. They went to the other side of the road. They just didn't even want to have anything to do with this this person who was wounded and left half dead, as Jesus says here. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. He saw him. He had compassion, bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, set him on an animal, brought him to an inn. He took care of him. He paid the innkeeper, said, "Take care of him. I'll repay you whatever you spend to help this guy." So which of these three, Jesus says, do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And so the certain lawyer says, "He who showed him mercy." And again, Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." So, who's my neighbor? Well, it's and of course, the Samaritans were kind of the enemies of the Jews, and it was a Samaritan that helped this Jewish person. And so that's the neighbor. So this would have flipped this lawyer on his head, I think. Just, what? That's my neighbor? He was wanting to justify him, and Jesus says, "Nope, sorry, but it's not as easy as what you think it might be." But anyway, the point being, under the law, go and do likewise. And so if that man would have taken Jesus at his word, he would have kept on trying and trying and trying, and really never would have found life, especially the life that we find under the new covenant, which is by faith alone.
By faith. By faith. Well, you know, I mean, this story is so great. Somebody trying to justify themselves based upon what they do. I mean, that was the law mentality, right? Remind me not to call this guy if I ever need a lawyer, by the way. Just he kind of got took down.
Yeah.
Got took down by the judge. But, you know, we talk about being a good Samaritan today, and we've kind of turned it into some sort of a religious mantra of sorts, missing the whole point of the story. You ask most people today in most church buildings, describe a Samaritan. Mm-hmm. I mean, most people just think it's just a regular Joe, just a good citizen, not realizing the potential racial and religious component to it. You know, at one point when Jesus sent out the disciples two by two and told them, stay away from the Gentiles, non-Jewish people, stay away from the Samaritan villages. The one time he was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, his disciples came back, the well of water, and his disciples came back and were surprised to see him speaking to that woman. So they, among the Jewish community, Samaritans were a despised bunch. Mm-hmm. And so there's some of that involved with the story. But really, of course, as we've talked about before, the Samaritan was Jesus. It's not us. Right. Jesus wasn't coaching us here to be good Samaritans. He was the Samaritan in the story. And so this idea of trying to justify yourself, that was also, as we kind of talked about some things last week, that was also part of the mindset of Jewish people. Now, after the cross, and after people came to believe in Jesus and receive his spirit, many Jewish people, keeping in mind that Gentiles really didn't even hear the gospel. Most people don't even realize this. We did a series on it a while back, but the Gentiles, non-Jewish people, weren't even hearing the gospel for 6, 8, maybe up to 10 years after the cross. Mm-hmm. And that's another story. But the point here is that Jewish people who still had the mindset that they were in relationship to the Mosaic Law, even after the cross, even after believing in Jesus and receiving His Spirit, they still had these mindsets that were keeping them trapped in certain ways. It doesn't mean they weren't saved or any of that. And by the way, when we reference some of the things James said from a legalistic, from a law-based perspective, we're not necessarily saying that James shouldn't be in the Bible. But once you begin to see the context of his letter and how it really does mesh with the rest of the New Testament and the things that we see in other passages and the battles that Paul was facing, you can see why it's in there. Mm-hmm. I've got no big problem at all with James being in the Bible, even though I think it's a mixed covenant letter. And I just want people to understand that. We're not judging right. James. We're not being critical in the sense that it shouldn't be in the Bible or that the letter that James wrote to the 12 Jewish tribes that somehow that he's not saved because of what he said in there. We're not saying any of that. I've seen even some grace people almost accuse somebody from where we're coming from as suggesting James isn't saved. We're not saying that. It's just, you know, there are people even today, even myself and you, we know certain things, and there's many things we don't know about. It doesn't mean we're not saved. I mean, right. God works through our ignorance. You know, we grow and we learn, right? That's the way it is for everybody. But if you're in a mindset of still being under the law as a Jewish person, even after the cross, even after receiving a Spirit, you're going to have just certain mindsets, like not sharing the gospel with the Gentiles, for example.
Right.
Until God hit Peter alongside the head with a vision. And explain to him, here, eat this stuff. Oh, no, I would never do that, Lord. That's unlawful. That's unclean. I would not do that. And God was trying to show him, it doesn't matter anymore. We've got a new covenant here. And then, of course, Peter figured out that the Gentiles were also free now to hear the gospel. I don't know why they didn't entirely get this up until these many years later, but that's the way it played out. That happened pretty close to the time that Paul would first start coming onto the scene. And the funny thing, Joel, is that when Cornelius, the Gentile, and his household, when the Spirit came upon them, Peter and his circumcised traveling companions were shocked.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, whoa, look, the Spirit's fallen on the Gentiles. Well, what would have kept them from thinking that earlier? It would have been adherence to the law, still thinking that they were in relationship with that law that was really a ministry of death and condemnation. Even they were growing in their understanding that ministry of death and condemnation had been abolished and brought to an end by Jesus at the cross, who became the high priest. The old priesthood was done away with.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just interesting. Again, trying to put ourselves into the shoes of these Jewish people, especially in the early days and years of the gospel. You were talking about Peter and the vision of the sheets. Though that was in Acts 10. And that would have been a good 5 years, give or take, maybe a little bit more. Not sure. According to some Acts timelines, after the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, and so it would have been 5+ years after Jesus instructed his disciples to go and preach to all nations, and so Peter, even these few years later, he's not quite understanding that the Gentiles have been included in this. And do you ever stop to think about that? I think that's where you're coming from, I'm coming from with some of this. Is that, do we stop and think about some of these things? There was a growing process in those early years. And I think that maybe Peter knew about this incident with the lawyer. And he heard Jesus saying, well, if you want to live, do these things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the rich young ruler, it was a very similar thing. And the rich young ruler went away sad because Jesus said, well, if you really want to have life, sell all that you have and give to the poor. And so people like Peter would have seen Jesus interacting with people like this. And again, Jesus interacting with people from a law mindset, an old covenant mindset. This was not the new covenant that Jesus was ministering under. And somehow it hadn't gotten across, probably to James, to Peter, and some of the other disciples at this time. And, of course, the book of James, his epistle, would have been written before a lot of this as well. And so it's easy to, for it's if you have a mindset that everything that was written has to be exactly perfectly correct, then you'll miss a lot of this stuff. What these Bible letters show us is what really happened in the church. And that's why it's good to have them in the Bible. That's why it's good so we can see what actually happened. We can see Peter saying, I'm never going to eat anything unclean. I've never done it. He was arguing with God, you know, who showed him this vision. And then finally, God says, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. And then this was done three times. and then Peter eventually began to get it. But even still, he still played the hypocrite, you know, when Paul withstood him to his face. So it took some time. It took time for Peter. It took time for James. It probably took time for Paul. You know, there was a period of 3 years, and then there was a period of 14 years where Paul was away, and not much is known about what happened during all of that time. Paul had to learn. Paul had to grow. And so finally, when we get his epistles, I think we have a much greater understanding of his revelation that he received from the Lord. But anyway, these were people like us. The rich young ruler, the certain lawyer, Peter, James, John, all these people, they were people just like us, and we can see a beautiful story unfolding in front of us by looking at the entirety of the New Testament epistles.
Well, as you started out with, Joel, we had somebody who was trying to justify themselves through what they did. And I think the big thing here that we're maybe trying to hammer home is under a new and better covenant, with the old one being obsolete, that was for the Jews, a new and better covenant for both Jews and Gentiles, apart from a law of works, there is no way that a person can be justified by what they do. You won't receive forgiveness by what you do. You won't come to salvation based upon what you do. Faith is not made alive based upon what you do. It is not made perfect based upon what you do. Nobody has ever achieved making faith perfect based upon works, and that includes Abraham and Rahab. It just isn't there. The whole premise of the gospel is based upon the gift of righteousness, the salvation that came through a person of Jesus Christ, not a written word. And so this is very good news for us because it's based on him and what he did and not on us and what we do. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And we should embrace that and take great joy in that. And realize that now that God is in us and we are in him, there's a relationship established, and God desires to begin a good work in each and every one of us. Not a work like what the law of works entailed, something very different, something very lifelike, something very supernatural. The law wasn't any of that.
Well, yeah, the law wasn't any of that. It wasn't supernatural. It wasn't God's work. It was based upon a person's own fleshly works, as if a person could say that something that they did, their own works, could justify them. And so something you mentioned in there, you said that neither Rahab nor Abraham were justified by their works. Well, James had said that they were justified by works and not by faith only. So let's take a little bit of a deeper look into that coming up next week on Growing in Grace.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.